A sad day it is. This will be my third visit to you. Every matter must be established by the witness of two or three witnesses, by the testimony of two or three witnesses. I already gave you a warning when I was with you the second time. I will now repeat it in my absence, so that when I return, I will not spare those who have sinned earlier or any of the others. Lord God, let us see that the Bible not only gives us encouragement, but gives us the reason for correction. That you as our Father and Christ as our brother have given these words to the apostles, that we may be guided properly. For neither do we want to be a disappointment to you or a failure in our goal. So bless us, Lord. We've heard of many who are ill, impending surgeries, or times of recovery. Bless them and their caregivers. May your will always be worked out. Pray, Father, for those who are hurting emotionally, physically, financially. Give them strength. Let us all know, Father, we're just here temporarily. And for the things we may suffer here on earth, rewards in heaven will be so much greater. And we thank you for that. For our military, for our missionaries, and God, for our police officers and first responders, bless them because they risk their lives every day. And we need to show them how much we appreciate what they've done. Be with them and their families as well. And let's give some peace and calmness to our nation for its struggles against itself as a woman in childbirth. May we expect good responses and good results coming from you. Now bless our congregation and give us your strength and love. And may the speaker give the right words today. I pray in Christ's name and amen. Amen. I hate the spring. I love the weather. My goodness, can you remember most all of us who grew up north? When it finally got to 50 degrees above zero, and we put on short pants and no socks, and we'd run around without a shirt on, and the girls would all lather themselves down with iodine poured into a bottle of baby oil. Remember those days? I hate the spring. I love that part. But like Paul today, we're getting ready to say goodbye to a bunch of friends this week and next and the next. Because you want to go for some reason, I don't know why, back north. Well, Paul's in that same situation. He loved the church of Corinth. Spent months and months and months with them. And brought them a long way from their paganism to knowing Jesus Christ as their Savior. Then he got that first letter of how they were backsliding. And there were problems in their own personal lives, and there were problems in their congregation as well. The main problem in the congregation is the people who weren't the backsliders but saw what was going on didn't correct them and said, this is wrong. You've got to change. And Paul wanted them not to keep on their own merry way thinking everything is fine because they carry the name of Jesus. But Paul wanted him to say, am I living the way Jesus would have me to live? So he wrote his first letter back, which we do not have. And there was more problems that came up. And he wrote his second letter. And then now he's finishing up. 2 Corinthians is actually the third letter from Paul. He's finishing up. And pretty much here's what he's saying. I'm coming. Get ready. Because it may not be nice if you're not ready. We down here have a particular aversion for one word, more than all others, hurricanes. Charlie hit us. Before that it was Donna, then Charlie, then Wilma. In 05, and then the last couple years. The difference is, though, we knew they were coming. We were warned. Go get your bottle of water. Go buy enough toilet paper for 4 years. In case all the trees are broken, you can't buy anymore. And get a case or two of Spam and yellow mustard, and with that you will be all right. And if you didn't, you're saying, "Oh, Dwight, you should have warned me." And I said, "I did." Now, according to God's good grace, I hope we don't have any more of them. But there will be tragedies. The great floods that they've had in the past couple weeks out west, where most of the food, the grain, is underwater and wasted, and the land may be so destroyed that they can't even crop this year. There will be tragedies in our lives. There'll be stock market crashes and stock market booms. There'll be friends who turn their back on us. There will be disappointed in governments. About 16 months or so from now, some of you are going to be celebrating on that second Tuesday of November. Some of you are going to be crying about it. I mean, there's going to be disappointments in our life. There will be a new toy that will come out that you want to buy your grandkids, but you got there too late and can't buy it for Christmas. And there are all kind of things we get disappointed in. But the difference is, are you ready to handle it? And Paul was giving, we are particularly blessed in some ways today. I mean, though it seems to be growing out of our ears, we do have a cell phone, and most people we can call and say, "Granny, Mom, and Dad, whatever it is, I'm going to come over and visit today." And they'll be prepared. Paul was using he didn't use email, he used foot mail. He wrote it down, and one of his followers would take it to the different places. And that's what's going on here today. Every matter must be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. There must have been some gossip going on. Some unfair judgment going on. And Paul said, just don't take one person's word for it. And it is still the Jewish tradition in their courts and laws that you must have at least two eyewitnesses before a testimony is accepted. Well, that makes sense. If not, you could, quote, drop a dime on anybody and give an anonymous tip, anybody can be accused of anything. Paul says two or three witnesses. I already gave you a warning when I was with you the second time. I've told you how many times. In all honesty, maybe it's just for men, but in all honesty, there are four words that just you hate. It's worse than fingernails on a blackboard. "I told you so." Now, isn't that true? We hate to be "I told you." Well, Paul's giving them "I told you so." "I warned you the last time I was here." And the unspoken truth is, you didn't change enough. You didn't believe me. I was telling in Sunday school. Saw the Weather Channel last night. And some town out west, flooded, devastated, water up in the buildings, cars turned sideways, and they had a capture on it. How many times has this town been flooded in the last 200 years? 16 times. And they still going to build it back? How many times do you have to be told this isn't a good place to put a town? Get it up on a hillside or something. How many times has God got trying to tell us that we need to be changing our lifestyle? That's what Paul's about to do. I gave you a warning. I will repeat it now in my absence. On my return, I will not spare those who sinned earlier or any of the others. You know it's wrong. Don't keep it up. That's called repentance. And repentance requires a change of lifestyle. If something doesn't work the first time and the second time and it causes harm and devastation, you might want to quit. It's not good. Any of y'all ever get heartburn after eating a favorite food? Yeah. So you got to do one or two things. Now, the easiest one is quitting the favorite food, but no, my goodness, we're not going to do that. So you get a handful of Tums or Rolaids or something like, or Tagamet or something like that, and you dose yourself. I do that myself. And when I get heartburn, it must be the maker of Tums' fault, they didn't make a heavy enough dose, because it couldn't be that I put that extra jalapeno sauce on my ribs or something like that. That wouldn't be my fault. We never claim it to be ourselves. So he says, on my return, I will not spare them. Now, Paul did have authority. He was speaking for God, and God gave him that challenge, and Christ gave him that challenge, and Paul was to be listened to. Nowadays, Paul still speaks for God. It's called the Bible, the book of Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, and those other epistles that he wrote, better than half the New Testament. Paul gave that to us. Though 2,000 years ago, God knew we were going to need it. Since you are demanding proof that Christ is speaking through me, he is not weak in dealing with you, but is powerful among you. When something goes wrong in our life, first thing we want to blame it on the government. It must be the government's fault. Blame it on the people I'm with. Blame it on our parents. They didn't tell us about this. They didn't warn us. We can find a dozen other excuses except the mirror excuse. You know the mirror excuse, don't you? You look in the mirror and the person you're seeing looking back at you is the problem. We don't want to do that. That means we would have to have some responsibility in ourselves. Government ought to do something. Keep that town from flooding. Build a 900-foot dam around it. I don't know. Or he can move. There's a lot of simple answers that we don't want to look for. To be sure, Christ is speaking through me. He is not weak in dealing with you, but is powerful among you. Dwight honestly believes, that's third person, that sounds so cold. I honestly believe that Jesus Christ, through his Holy Spirit, is working for us here on the earth today. He did not create this world to abandon us. We say, why did God let this happen? And at times we will think, why did this happen? But should we not better say, what can I learn from this? How can I grow from this? Or worse comes to worse, why did I do this? And blame ourselves. And Paul says there is responsibility for what we do. And the responsibility is ours. So how do we react? Well, we become an adult. We act like a Christian. We say, let's settle this the right way. And far too many conflicts in this world can be avoided if we look to settle it the right way. And that's not with a lawyer, Morgan and Morgan, or whoever wants you to sue somebody about something today. You can sue for asbestos. You can sue now for your plumbing pipes corroding in the ground. Somebody will tell you, you can sue for every kind of pill you've ever used. There's all kind of things they'll want you to get involved in. Maybe we should say, what have I done to make it better? Be sure, he, meaning Christ, was crucified in weakness. Oh, no, Jesus wasn't weak. Yes, he was during that period of time. Because the time of the arrest and the trial and the crucifixion, he did not use his authority. He acted as a man acted. So that we would know that he went through it, so can we. He submitted to the will of God. Have we ever submitted to the will of God? And aren't we usually happier when we do? If you've ever seen either two dogs in a fight or a big dog and a little dog, unless it's a chihuahua, they ain't got a lick of sense. I'm sorry. See, I've done heard it. And the little dog, he'll get down on his all fours, you know, duck his head in front of the big dog, an act of submission. When he does that, he becomes vulnerable because the way you kill an animal is around the neck. And he submits himself to the big dog, and he agrees. In the time of the ancients, when someone would go visit the king, they would bow their head. It opens up the back of the neck where a blow could be struck to kill him. Some kings, German kings were particularly bad about it, but it also happened in the Holy Roman Empire. When they were mad at someone, and somebody had sinned against them, they would have to come into before the king's throne and lick the floor as they walked to the king. They'd get on all fours and lick the floor. If the king wanted them to die, there would be poison on that floor. And they would know their submission wasn't enough. And that's how they would kill them. Well, Jesus submitted to God, and it cost him his life because he knew that was what needed to be done for you and me and for all the world. So those sins could be taken away. So in his weakness, he became the king because he submitted to his Father. And for us, it needs to be the same way. We need to submit to God. We need to submit to Jesus. We need to submit to the Holy Spirit. Let me read you the next line. Examine yourselves. No, I'm going to back up. Yet by God's power we will live with him and serve you. Isn't that amazing? Paul says, I have authority, but I'm going to come and serve you, even the writer and the apostle. Examine yourself, verse 5, to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Is your faith strong? Do you respond properly to God? Do you allow yourself to be tested? Do you isolate yourself and never reach out and never try to accomplish anything, never go anywhere or do anything where you might be uncomfortable? Yes, we can do that. Miss Campbell sang the same song twice because it needed to be heard, and it wasn't the first time. That's got to be hard to do. And each of us can be challenged. Maybe it's to be friendly to a neighbor who isn't very neighborly, or to a relative that's not very family-ish. There's a word there. I'm not sure what it is. Do you not realize that Jesus Christ is in you, unless, of course, you fail the test? Turn back with me. If you've got a Bible, and I think most of you do right in front of you, turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We're going to start with verse 12. Let me give you some teaching that Paul had given to this same group months, if not years, prior to this. Paul says in verse 12, everything is permissible for me. Well, that sounds like the American way to do it. I can do what I want. I've got my freedom. I've got my rights. And it doesn't matter who I hurt, I'm going to do what I want to do. He goes on. Everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. Go eat a gallon of ice cream right before you go to bed. And you'll awake with a bellyache, that song goes. Not everything is good, even though you can. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered or will not be controlled by anything. I'm hooked on my coffee. If I don't get my Starbucks in the morning, I'm just going to die. Oh, now, those of you that laugh know what I'm talking about. Yeah. And we get that way. And we do anything we can to take care of ourselves, make ourselves happy. Food is for the stomach, and the stomach is for food. God will destroy them both. For our heavenly body will not have a stomach. It will not need food. It will exist on the power and the love of Christ. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. By his power, God raised the Lord up from the dead, and he will raise us up also. We will have an event next month called Easter. Prior to that, on a Friday night, we'll have you can call it a Passover meal, you can call it a Good Friday service, whatever you wish, at 4 o'clock. Then we'll do the Easter thing. We'll talk about up from the grave he arose. What a song that is, with strength and power. Irene, we sing that song, I won't be standing up. You won't remember, neither will I, but we've said it anyway. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? We have a spiritual relationship with the Son of God. Therefore, we need to realize how special we are. And too often, we do not understand how special we are. I think John 3:16 may just be the most explanatory, simple line we've ever heard. For God so loved the world that he gave his... Come on, help me out. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whomsoever... That's a big window. Whomsoever believeth in him shall have everlasting life. What it says right there is our whole reason to live. Because we're special to God. The problem is most people don't accept that. We were up in Orlando for a meeting yesterday. And I walked through the mall. Have you ever walked through a mall? I honestly thought I was in the bar scene of Star Wars. I saw sights that I couldn't believe. They must have a different type of soap powders up there. Because it shrank every one of the little girls' shirts. It shrank them way up to here. And I'm sure nobody did that on purpose. But it was just... We're in a very sad state, this world is. And the things that go on. He said this. Do you not know your bodies are members of Christ himself? Do I take the members of Christ? Unite with a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that he unites himself with a prostitute is one in a body? For I've said that two shall become, for it is said, two shall become one. He who unites himself with the Lord is one with him in spirit. If we've given our lives to Christ, we are part of Christ. We are part of God's family. We are blessed. And we don't take advantage of that near enough. Flee from sexual immorality. All of the sins a man commits are outside his body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. Verse 19, I've got it marked. I memorized it 40-some years ago. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you receive from God? You are not your own. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. God is therefore in us and we are part of Christ's family. Let us enjoy that. For Christ is with us. Now we pray to God that you do not do anything wrong, nor not that the people will see what we have stood the test. That you do what is right, even though it seems you have failed. Other people will judge us a lot harsher than God will if we're doing God's will. And what doesn't make sense to the world makes total sense to Christ. And we've got to get over that. Well, what does the world think about me? I must have seen the same outfit 50 times last night. You know, with the blue jeans, it looked like you took a chainsaw in the front of them. You know what I'm saying? And different styles. And the word apostolic or whatever that word is. Apostolic. You know what I'm talking about. Everybody's got their own individual shirt. They just all look alike. We have tried so much to copy each other. And 80% of the people in the mall were wearing blue jeans. They don't make blue jeans for this body. And I have to agree with them, and I don't wear them. But people try to match each other to be different by being the same. I do not understand that. For we cannot, Paul says, do anything against the truth, but only for the truth. We need to know the truth. And what is the truth? It's the Word of God. So when we know the truth, we follow it through. And we're blessed because of that. This is why Paul says that whenever we are weak, but you are strong, our prayers for your perfection. Now, we are not perfect people, but we are forgiven people. And because of that forgiveness, we have become perfect. And that's what God wants us to know and be and do and have. The authority the Lord gave me for building you up, not for tearing you down. And in verse 11, perfect Sunday for it. Finally, brothers, goodbye. Finally, brothers, goodbye. What's the old song of the 80s, 60s, 70s, 50s? Never can say goodbye. I preached a sermon one time when it was my last Sunday at a church because I didn't want to say goodbye. And now a bunch of you all are running away from me. But it's not goodbye. It's until later. either later next year when you get back down here in the cold northern winter, or later when we meet on the other side of the Jordan River, when Jesus Christ welcomes us home with that great phrase, "Well done, well done." That's going to sound really good one day. Aim for perfection. Listen to my appeal. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. What a blessing that is, to know that God is with us. And God is a God of peace, not a God of turmoil, not a God that causes war, but lets us survive the wars. Now, verse 12. Dwight has a particular change on that one. It says, greet each other with a holy kiss. I like a handshake much better. Some of you all may remember the day when all the men's had beard and they chewed tobacco and the back of spit was being the beard. Yeah, let's handshake is a lot better, trust me. All the saints, the sanctified, those who are saved, send you the greeting. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. What a farewell that is. He's given them God's blessing the way we should give each other God's blessing. There's a song that I grew up singing at the end of a church service. Now, I love Bill Gaither. Don't get me wrong. But there is one. God be with you till we meet again. Now, this side of the Jordan, the other side of the Jordan, whenever it is, Christ's church will be brought together. So it is my blessing today. May God be with you until we meet again. The only way that's possible to happen is we all given our lives to Jesus Christ through obedience, through confession of our sins, claiming Jesus as our Savior, buried in the water grave of baptism and arising to walk anew. If you're outside of that today, we give you that opportunity. I wrote down the song, and I can't remember what it was. Which one is it, Caroline?
476.
476. Stand with me as we sing our hymn of invitation, number 476.